Well, good morning. It's a pretty sad morning this morning. I couldn't find the walk around, so I've got to be still. I'm going to do my best this morning to stay behind here. But I want to welcome everyone that is here. And I guess you could see we have PowerPoint for this morning, but we have hard disk failure on one of the computers, and so we did not get an outline sheet out to you this morning. I had an announcement. Brittany Webb will be having surgery on her knee tomorrow here. Okay. Be having surgery tomorrow here, and so we want to make sure we add Brittany to your prayer list as well. You know, we live in a world that we talk a lot about battle, and we talk about things that are going on as far as the fight, and we come to sharpen our sword, and we try to do all the things that God would have us to do, and yet we feel like we're always fighting. And one of the things we do have to realize is that we are under attack. If some of you, many of you, remember a day of infamy. It was December, on a Sunday, December 7th, 1941. At 7:40 a.m., pilots sight the north shore of Oahu, Hawaii. At 7:50 a.m., pilots began the military attack on the island. 7:53 a.m., the radio code of Tora, Tora, Tora goes to the Japanese fleet, indicating that the surprise attack was successful. At 7:55 a.m., the first planes start the attack of naval ships in Pearl Harbor. But by the time the attack was over, 18 American ships had either been sunk or damaged. 344 American aircraft had been destroyed or damaged. 1,178 Americans were wounded, and 2,403 Americans were killed. Now, there were several reasons why the Japanese attack was so successful, and I want us to look at these just briefly, and I'll kind of go over this here in just a moment. But the first thing is that the Americans involved, and I'm talking about the leaders back in Washington or wherever, were unconcerned with the warning signs. As early as January of 1941, the U.S. ambassador to Japan informed Washington of an attack on Pearl Harbor if trouble with the Americans continued to escalate. In April of 1941, an American scientist developed a machine known as MAGIC. Many of you know about MAGIC. And it was able to decode Japanese secret communiques. By and large, the data was ignored and was further pushed aside because of an internal struggles in the military intelligence. At 7:02 a.m., the morning of December 7th, 1941, two privates picked up a sighting of an aircraft on radar. At 7:20 a.m., 18 minutes later, the superiors told the privates, "Don't worry about it." There was an unconcern. We are who we are. Nobody's going to mess with us. The second thing that happened there was that the Americans at Pearl Harbor, they were really uninformed there at Pearl. They were uninformed about the prior attacks that were about to happen. The information about a submarine sighting at 3:45 a.m. and a subsequent attack on the submarine was delayed. And news reached Kimmel's office at 7:15 a.m., and he disregards it. A message revealing diplomatic relations had been severed by the Japanese is decoded in Washington at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the morning of December 7th and is sent to Oahu by regular telegraph. The message is delivered to headquarters at noon, Hawaii time, 4 hours after the first wave of attacks. They were uninformed. The third thing is that the Americans at Pearl Harbor, they were unprepared. Stick with me. Because of a lack of concern and a lack of timely information, defenses were not in place. They just didn't know. Pearl was not on a state of high alert in any way. Aircraft were left parked, wingtip to wingtip. Anti-aircraft weapons were unmanned and ammunition boxes were still locked. Torpedo nets were not in place to protect the fleet. They were unprepared because they just simply did not know. Well, you say, well, why are you telling us all this? What does Pearl Harbor teach Christians? And this is it. This is the answer. We have enemies. Enemies can be deceptive. We must not fall into the threefold error here, as I mentioned, of December 7, 1941, where we are unconcerned, uninformed, and unprepared. This morning, I want us to prepare our defenses for Satan's attack. And how are we going to be able to do that? The first thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge our enemies. Church, our enemies, they are a reality. And we have to acknowledge that. Some will say, oh, the devil's not real. We're just all, you know, just crazy people. Well, you got half that right. We're crazy people, maybe. But the devil is real. 1 Peter 5 teaches us that we have an adversary in the devil. John 15 says the world will hate us if what? If we're not in the world. If we're different. If we're, you know, seen as, well, they're a Christian. Let's just keep, you know, keep them. We're going to keep them over there. I don't like them. So many people are so worried about becoming Christians because of the world. But the enemy is real. And not only is it real, but they are resourceful. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, and beginning of verse 14 there, it says, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Goes on in verse 15 there, it says, for Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You see, they will enlist. I'm talking about Satan, and he will enlist many others to help to fight against us. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 11, 13, 17, and 19. Read those four chapters, 11, 13, 17, 19. You're going to come back and say, I didn't understand a word of that, any of that I read. Good. Let's sit down and we'll talk about it. We'll read it, see what the book says. But they are very resourceful and they are resilient. If you remember in Luke chapter 14, when the devil or Satan, he was going to tempt Jesus, and Jesus is out in the desert or the wilderness, and he's going to be out there for 40 days plus. And then we see in Luke chapter 4 there in verse 13, it says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. Listen to this. He departed from him until an opportune time. I want you to consider for just a moment Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 17. I want to encourage you to read that. This is what it's saying here. In verse 4, we see that Satan tried to stop some things. He tried to mess up some things so we could not exist as Christians. And we see that he tried to stop Jesus from entering in the world. He tried to keep Jesus from ascending into heaven. He tried to get Jesus out of heaven. He tried to foil all the plans of the church. And if you look at verse 17 closely of Revelation 12, it teaches us that he's still goes after Christians today. And he will not stop. And he's going to continue to come after us. Church, we're under attack. What are we going to do? Well, here's what we can do. We can avoid the errors. We can avoid the errors that happened there at Pearl Harbor. And I'm not blaming anybody, any of our military personnel. They were doing what they were commanded to do. But we have to avoid these errors. We cannot be unconcerned with sin and the devil. Now, I'm not saying walk around worry, because Jesus tells in Matthew 6, don't worry. I'm not saying, oh man, you know, there's worry warts. My grandmother was one of them. She was worried about waking up, and then when she woke up, she was worried about what was going to happen that day. Worried if her shoes were going to be there to put on. Like, Grandma, don't worry. I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. Don't give me that. The thing is, church, we have to be concerned. We have to know it's there, but be ready to act upon it. We cannot overlook sin, Acts chapter 17. We cannot pretend that evil is really good. We cannot hide sin, Psalm 90. We must not become lazy or lax to sin. We must not be neutral about sin, James 4:17. And we must not be unconcerned with the devil. And not only that, we cannot be uninformed about the devil and his helpers and of sin. We're not to be ignorant or unaware of the troubles that await the Christian. We know there's going to be trials. We know there's going to be things that are going to be there for us. And we're not to be ignorant of that. We're not to be ignorant of the devices or the schemes, the plans that are going to happen from the devil. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, we cannot be ignorant or we cannot be uninformed about the scripture either. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29, it says, you are mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. See, that's why we are to be diligent and show ourselves approved, as we read about in 2 Timothy 2. If we remain ignorant to the word of God, we cannot have a proper relationship with our leader and our protector, the one that's going to protect us. If we don't have a relationship with him, how are we going to protect ourselves? We can't, because he is the one that's going to protect us. And we must have that relationship with him. We have to be informed. See, the passing on of biblical information, it is vital to our spiritual health. We must have it. Just like we must have food, we must have water, we must have the things to survive physically, we must have biblical information to remain spiritually healthy. And the third thing is there, we cannot be unprepared for our enemy and especially the judgment. We're to remain sober and watchful for our enemies, 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind and be sober. Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Not only should we be watchful for our enemies, but we should also watch for our opportunities. Our opportunities to get closer to God, to bring someone else to God. We have to be watchful for those things. Ultimately, we are to be prepared for the judgment, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. But we do not want the devil and we do not want sin to sneak up on us. We must not get caught taking a spiritual nap, if you will, while our enemy is constantly looking for some way to attack us. If we get lazy, he's going to get us. He's going to throw something out there. And our minds are going to say, yeah, this will be all right. Next thing you know, we're caught. We're in a trap. I couldn't catch a couple of our little kittens I was trying to get rid of here a while back and give away, which somebody gave it back. I didn't give it to the right guy, I guess. And I couldn't catch a couple of them. So I got those little animal traps. And I put a piece of bologna in the back of it. Well, that first one went in, boom, got him, put it in the box. And the second one walked around, and I was like, come on. And every time I'd step to it, it would try to go away from me. So I had to sit there. And it tried to paw it through there, and I was like, just just go in the door over here. And it finally, it worked its way around, and it got itself in there, and I snatched it up. And I was like, yes, I got it. And I was so happy and so great. You know what? That's exactly what Satan is doing to us. He dangles, for less than speaking, a piece of baloney out there for us. And we can sit there and paw around all we want to, but until we actually just go say, okay, I got to get this. And we go in the door, then we're caught. And he's got us. We cannot be spiritually lazy. We must be prepared at all times. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be able to be prepared? Well, we can arm ourselves with the power of God. You know, we are to be energized in the Lord. And some when we hear that word energize or energy, we go, oh, it makes me tired. Do y'all remember the old commercial with the Energizer Bunny? Everybody remembers the Energizer Bunny. And it just sat there and beat on that drum, and it keeps going and going. And they had like 55 million commercials because the bunny just kept on going and going and going all the time. Never stopped. And so we had this thing going on. Well, guess what? That's the way we're to be. We're to be energized in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying go get you a bunny costume and start beating on a drum. I'm talking about spiritually in our minds, getting ourselves prepared and get a little energy towards God. Sometimes we get so spiritually lazy that we get where we don't care anymore. And then our esteem starts going down. The next thing you know, Satan's right there and he's ready for us. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 33 says that God is my strength and power. Nehemiah 8 says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And of course, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We must be energized in the Lord. And we're also to equip ourselves. We're to equip ourselves with God's instruments of war. And we have that in Ephesians 6 and 1 Thessalonians 5. We know that we're to equip ourselves with the truth, with righteousness, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with faith, salvation, with the word of God, and we're to put on Jesus Christ. That's how we can equip ourselves. We don't have to walk around being, you know, all loaded up with something heavy we can't carry. Because God's not going to give that to you. He's going to give everything that we need. He's going to get us where we are equipped to be able to fight off Satan. Even better, listen to me, church. Even better, he's going to give us the things that we can seek out and defeat Satan. Not just wait on him. Not just stand there timid waiting on him to come beat on us when we get lazy. But he gives us the things that we need to be able to go and find him and beat up on him. It's a great feeling whenever someone new comes to Jesus Christ. Satan hates that. We're beating up on him. And that's why it's so important for us to equip ourselves and to be energized a little bit in the Lord. But none of this is worth a hill of beans, if you will, if we do not enlist help. Now, stay with me. I'm not talking about calling up all your buddies and saying, okay, I need help. Because we're going to go down here and we're going to try to talk to these people about Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. Although that's great. That's a plus. But I'm talking about enlisting God's help. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 teaches us that we are to pray in all things. Everything that we do, everything that we are about needs to be a life of prayer. We're taught in 1 Thessalonians and Philippians and Nehemiah to pray always, to pray in everything, to pray and watch. You know, prayer is our pipeline. You know, my dad talks about working on the pipeline and he put the dynamite in there, and that he was one of the, you know, guys that had to tie the fuses together. Luckily, he didn't have to light that or, you know, push the thing down. But he was one of them that had to make sure everything was tied just right and on this big, long pipeline thing. Well, it would just go on for miles and miles. Many of you have done that, and you know what I'm talking about. But That's what prayer is. It's a pipeline. It's a pipeline to the energy that is needed for battle. Let me give you an example. At our house, we love watching the Discovery Channel and all the shows. We like the Survivor type shows. Now there's a bunch of them. Our favorite has always been Man vs. Wild, Bear Grylls. We even wear the Merrill shoes because we're Bear Grylls. And we watched that show, and then they had the Survivor Man, and then I guess now they got Man, Woman, Wild, a husband and wife thing, and that's kind of funny to watch. And then they got these two guys now, I forgot what that's called, but they got these two guys out there, and one of them's an ex-military soldier, and the other one's freakishly different, and we'll talk about him. But they have all these shows, but every one of them have something in common. Every one of them. They look for and they search for two things. One is calories. Doesn't matter where they're at, we're at in the world, they got to find food. That's why they're always eating this nasty stuff. Bugs and crickets and rats and yuck. And they got to have those calories. And they're like, oh, that was probably 1,000 calories, so I'll be able to walk a mile today. I'm like, good luck. And the other thing that they have to have is water. Cannot survive. The show is over if they don't find water. The show is over if they don't have it, some kind of calories to take in. Church, listen to me. We must have prayer for our spiritual battle, or we have nothing. It's over. We can get those things by being concerned, by being informed, by being prepared. But we must have God on our side, and we must pray. We have to. We could study the Bible all we want to, but if we are not praying, if we are not enlisting help, it's all for naught. We can have all the knowledge in the world of this thing, memorize it frontwards, backwards, but it's not going to amount to anything if we don't use it to glorify God and enlist His help in our life. That's just the way it is. Let us not fall unready, as we saw happen in 1941, December 7th. Let us be ready. So my question is for you this morning, are we ready for the attack? Are we ready? Are you ready for when Satan says, I've got a plan to go after Casey? I've got a plan to go after Dean. I've got a plan to go after Doc. I've got a plan to go after Keith. Are you going to be ready? Are we all going to be ready? What's your plan to fight him off? It's all found right here. And it's found in our prayers to God. And He's going to help us. We cannot lose. Being a Christian is the greatest thing in the world. We cannot fail with God on our side. Can we get beat up, battered and bruised? Yeah, absolutely. But we won't lose. We cannot lose. It is impossible for us to lose the battle. So we're under attack. I just say, bring it. In today's terms, bring it. Because we can defeat Satan. And we have. Jesus already has. And we will continue to beat him up. Are you ready? If you're not a Christian, I'm going to encourage you this morning. Better get yourself ready. There's no better time to get yourself prepared for the things that Satan is coming at you with than right now. If you're not a Christian, that's what he's doing. He's saying, no, don't do anything. You just stay right where you are, and I'm going to trap you. I'm going to bring you in some way, and I'm going to get you mixed up in this world, and then you're mine. And then I don't have to worry about that. Don't listen to the teachings. Don't listen to the Bible. Don't read it. That's what Satan is saying, because he's attacking you right now. But you can get him away from you, just like Jesus did. Get behind me, Satan. Get away from me. You can turn away from the world. You can say, you know what? I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be immersed in the water. You can be taken down in the water and brought up and say, I'm starting over. It's all new. Everything's washed away. Nothing left but a great future with our God. And you too can do that. Maybe you're a Christian this morning and you say to yourself, you know, I've just been spiritually lax or spiritually lazy too long. Well, today's the day. Today's the day. Don't do it for anybody else, but for you and for God. Don't not do it because of somebody. Maybe you got ill will against somebody or whatever. Take care of yourself and your relationship with God, and then give it to others. That's oh so important to us all. This morning, if you have any need whatsoever, why don't you come now as we stand together, as we sing.